afternoon, and happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Let's Chat Dairy, your favorite weekly market podcast powered by High Ground Dairy. Today's Friday, March 14th, and you're hearing from Alyssa Badger and Kara Murphy. In case you missed it, we announced another speaker for High Ground's 2024 Global Dairy Outlook Conference, which will be held in Chicago this summer, June 18th through the 20th. Danny Kuhlhaas, Director of Ag Services at Wells Fargo, will be joining us as part of our Ag Lending panel to discuss recent trends in agriculture lending for both commercial entities and farm perspectives. If you're interested in attending the conference, head over to highgrounddairy.com/conference for more information and registration details. Now, with that, you know what to do, Kara. Let's get started with our CME spot recap of the week.
Absolutely. The block versus barrel inversion ended this week on Wednesday when blocks held at 143.5 while barrels dipped to 142. Some support came in on Thursday, driving both markets higher. Blocks closed today at 147 with 13 trades, while barrels settled at 144.25 with a total of 23 trades. After declining over the past 2 weeks, dry whey gradually climbed back from the low 40s to close today at 44.5 cents. This was the second consecutive week with no trades that were made. The butter market bounced around to the low 280s, ending this week at 282.25 with 8 trades. Meanwhile, nonfat dry milk dipped to 116.25 yesterday, where it traded 9 times, the most for the week. It settled today unchanged with a total of 11 trades. January supply and utilization data was released this week as well. Butter usage jumped 8.5% compared to the prior year, driven by a 15.7 million pound increase in domestic demand, which accounted for 97% of total consumption. While butter stocks are not as aggressively thin as they were in January 2022, elevated use and general nervousness about tight milk and fat supplies have kept prices trending at similar levels for this time of year. Nonfat dry milk utilization dropped 7.7% versus 2023, the lowest January volume since 2020, on struggling international demand. The whey complex was strong on all accounts. Unsurprisingly, demand for whey protein concentrate remains insatiable from the domestic market. Lastly, a big takeaway was in cheese. Total cheese consumption fell by 2.0% in January compared to the previous year, primarily on tepid domestic demand. Both domestic and international consumption of American cheese was below the prior year, while other cheese narrowly eclipsed 2023 on impressive January export volumes, up 32%.
Kara, we've seen quite the rally in Class 3 milk futures this week, rising from a low of $15.76 per hundredweight on Tuesday to a high of $16.60 on Thursday in the April 2024 contract. However, there was a minimal activity in the spot market. I think even so, this is adding some fodder that Class 3 milk prices could rise in the coming months, despite the struggling cheese demand that you mentioned. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm really thinking on the dairy herd here. The herd contracted in 2023 and heifer inventories are tight, keeping replacement costs elevated. Dairy cow slaughter backed off hard in the second half of last year, and through just week 9 of this year, total U.S. dairy cow slaughter is down 90,000 head compared to the same time in 2023. This week alone saw the lowest volume since 2016. Region 9, including California, and Region 6, the Texas-New Mexico area, account for nearly 60% of that total. The sizable reduction will keep pressure on milk supplies through at least the first half of 2024. We're also hearing some chatter over herd health concerns in the Texas Panhandle recently. The outbreak appears to be spreading quickly through the lactating dairy herd, causing milk output to crash. I'll leave the diagnosis up to the veterinary professionals, though. Thank you so much for all that you do to keep our animals and farms healthy and operating. We will continue to follow this epidemic and any potential impacts it has on cow slaughter and milk production from the region.
What else do we need to keep on the radar here in the U.S., Kara?
Ooh, I'd say before we move on, got to talk about weather. It's been beautiful early spring in Chicago, and I can't complain. That said, Midwestern farmers sure can. The U.S. Drought Monitor reported yesterday that 72% of the Midwest is abnormally dry, the most for this time of year since 2003. Precipitation was just 41% of normal this winter for the area, a rather concerning report as spring planting gets underway. 56% of top corn growers in Iowa are noted in severe drought, a 24-year high for this time of year. In addition, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration is forecasting summer temperatures to be hot, with above average conditions affecting most of the U.S. Precipitation is forecast at equal chances in the Midwest, but below average in the western states, particularly those who are at a very high risk of wildfires. This outlook doesn't bode well for crop and pasture conditions this summer, but we still have several months to go. So in the meantime, let's cross our fingers and hope for rain.
Absolutely. We'll get the rain dance going here in the city. All right, let's talk global markets. There was a pretty unimpressive GDT pulse event on Tuesday, with C2 regular whole milk powder falling another 2% from the last pulse. Instant whole milk powder fell at the same pace, while C2 medium heat lifted a very small 0.2%. Keeping on that subject, Fonterra released their global dairy trade offer volume forecast yesterday, and there were some strange shifts happening on milk fats. Fonterra announced an increase in their offer volumes, adding 1,760 metric tons of butter and 1,500 metric tons of anhydrous milk fat to their 12-month forecast. But, and this is a big but, offer volumes for butter and AMF were reduced for the upcoming auctions, with 250 metric tons less butter in April and 325 metric tons less butter for May's auctions, while AMF volumes are 500 metric tons and 100 metric ton less during the April and May auctions. Given this tightening up on the supply side, we should see about a 1-2% gain for the fat complex. Powder volumes were left unchanged, but downside pressure seems pretty likely.
Speaking of downside pressure, European indices came off quite a bit this week.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. We did see some pretty strong moves lower there, and after stabilizing last week, European cheese prices slid as demand has not risen parallel to the seasonal increase in milk availability. EU butter prices have come off a bit in recent weeks. However, they are still relatively high for this time of year, reflective of the levels that we saw in 2022. Demand for the Easter holiday has been quenched, and the market is now focused on the second quarter and beyond, but not without some uncertainty, that's for sure. Otherwise, we've been hard at work on our global forecast report, so let's go over the key issues that we got into the weeds on within that report that was just released a moment ago. Following the conclusion of China's two sessions, we now understand their economic goals, kind of. While China did announce that 5% growth target, there continues to be a lack of urgency in really mapping out a plan to achieve that growth. There's been no significant stimulus package, no fresh strategy to tackle the property crisis or youth unemployment, and no tactics to recover the trillions of dollars lost in the stock market. And having no clear-cut way to navigate challenges in the country continues to make it really difficult to forecast dairy demand, but we certainly try our best and go over that situation in depth. Additionally, Southeast Asia, as well as Japan and South Korea, continue to face inflationary pressure and economic uncertainty. Southeast Asia's export-reliant economies are experiencing contracting activity. Thailand and Malaysia's purchasing managers data fell below 50, indicating contraction. Indonesia, the Philippines, and Vietnam currently maintain manufacturing activity, but face uncertainties due to China's declining import demand and persistent deflationary pressures. The Northern Hemisphere spring flush is underway, but growth expectations are minimal. Our model suggests that Europe and the U.S. will not see a significant recovery until later this year, thus keeping that demand uncertainty in balance. While Asian demand remained lackluster throughout 2023, the Middle East-North Africa region significantly offset some of the solids that were lost into Asia. However, with ongoing conflict in the Red Sea and stable oil prices, it remains pretty uncertain whether they will resume purchasing once Ramadan concludes. Lastly, the El Niño weather conditions are forecast to swiftly transition into La Niña, so high ground weighs what that means for the season ahead across the key export markets. All right, that does it for this week's episode of Let's Chat Dairy. We hope you enjoy the weekend, and we look forward to chatting with you next week. Cheers. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you're interested in receiving more information, as well as our analysis, please visit highgrounddairy.com to request a free 30-day trial today. Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.